B-Pod Studios.
The dynamic duo.
I'm a borderline moron.
Of Boston Sports Radio.
You are freaking Pork City.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, the Celtics, the best defensive team in the NBA this year, need a stop here. Irving gets away from the double team, continues into the paint, scrambling, double teamed again, back out to Durant, shot clock at two, Durant's got to put it up, gets it off in time, off the mark, no good, Horford the rebound. Celtics have a timeout, decide not to use it here. Brown the drive, Jaylen Brown kicks it out, Smart fakes, inside, Tatum spins and he puts it in, Celtics go up by one.
And what a play by Marcus Smart. Turns down the shot, gets into the paint, realizes he has enough time to get the ball into the hands of Tatum, and Tatum with the spin, the patience, and the basket. That's how
they count it. They count it. It's over.
Final hour, Felger Mass on a reentry Monday. Exceptional stuff from the Celtics down the stretch in that ballgame. They lead their series 1-0. The main topic today, but we got other things on the board as we discussed earlier. We'll go right back to the phones unless Maz or Murray have a fresh thought for the 5 o'clock hour.
Nope. No, go to the people.
All right, let's go to the people, shall we? Here's Craig in the car. Go ahead, Craig.
Hi, folks. Again, thanks for taking my call. Just a quick take on yesterday's game. Do you guys see the transference as far as the coaching that they're moving the ball inside? They're going for high percentage shots. Within the last 2 minutes, they went inside. They got the ball up, even though they were down by three. They got the ball up inside. Boom, great. They're down by one. Then when you saw Marcus Smart, he had the opportunity. He didn't take it. He passed it off to Tatum, and they got the ball, and that's the way it worked.
Okay,
and,
you know, the Nets talked about attacking the paint on the Celtics coming into the series without Rob Williams. The Nets, especially without Drummond, are far more susceptible inside. And the Celtics totally dusted them.
Yeah, big time.
And in big spots. So, like, the Nets play bad team defense. So, Kyrie hits that three with 48 seconds left. Celtics get an easy basket. Jaylen Brown puts his head down, blows by Brown, Bruce Brown. Pretty, you know, relatively easy basket in that situation. And then the final one, again, another layup, just working the ball. So, it's true. That's an advantage for the Celtics if they want to be patient with it.
I mean, look, as you just said, think of it. The final two buckets were layups.
Essentially.
Right? In a tie, you know, in what amounted to a one-point game, the final two buckets were layups. And so you can't give those up. I will say this, though, that as much as the Celtics went in there, boy, I felt like they missed a lot of bunnies.
Yeah, they did.
Like, so, you know, and that's another reason the game was closer than it probably should have been, because they had a bunch of chances right around the basket, whether they were follow-up dunks or tip-ins, or that they could not get to go, and they missed some layups, too.
Paul in Maine, what do you think, Paul?
Yeah, hey, guys. So what aspect of Ramadan do you think espouses profanity-laced tirades? Jeez, hangry Kyrie. He is a killer, though. My question, guys, is did we take his best shot? And do you think Tatum's defense on Durant can continue to be as effective? I mean, he flat-out locked him down a couple of times.
So I'd be stunned if Durant was it 9 for what
24?
Did he shoot?
9 for 24, I think.
I'd be surprised if you hold him to that kind of shooting night again.
And don't he had, hold what, your breath. 6 turnovers, too?
Right. I'd be surprised. And I think it was more team defense. I mean, Tatum, you know, definitely closed on him on that last possession and was there a lot of the time, but it was really more team defense. The first quarter, I mean, everyone had their hand in there knocking the ball away and all of that. So, I mean, they're a good defensive team, but they're a good defensive team, and Kyrie went off for 39. So, you know, what leads you to believe Durant can't do the same thing one of these nights?
The one thing I will say that makes Tatum different than a lot of guys is that I don't feel like Durant has as easy a time shooting over him. That's all. Now, Durant's longer, but, you know, Tatum's close enough where I think he can at least have some impact. A lot of guys can't.
Definitely the case. Kirk in Virginia. Hi, Kirk.
Oh, hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, barely.
Great, thanks. I just want to get your take on this. What about removing the fans who yell the F-bomb and suck my whatever from the game? Because I feel like I've been at Fenway Park games where I've had my kid with me, and I've asked, you know, guys that were, you know, spouting off if you can, you know, not do that, and almost ended up getting into a fight. It's usually those guys that they're drunk and, you know, they feel the need to whatever, like yell the F-bomb. And,
yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, you can't be, or you shouldn't be allowed to be vulgar and profane. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be allowed. But you buy your ticket, you should be able to express yourself within the norms of decency, for lack of a better term. But you want my personal opinion? Like, just my personal opinion? If you're that guy that's really, like, losing it on a player, and they're clearly close enough to hear you, and you're that guy, you're kind of a loser.
Oh, I agree.
Like,
I mean, you know, all I can tell you is this. I've been to a million games in this town as a fan and as a, you know, as a member of the media. But let's go back to fan days. I've never remotely yelled anything like that. Like, how many of us have?
I have when I was in my 20s.
Okay.
But, you know, I eventually grew up.
Yeah, so look again, but I would say, overall, it's a relatively small percentage. So I think it's in poor taste.
There's something about the basketball thing, too. It's
closer.
You are right there. And basketball, I hope they never change, they allow you to be right there. There is no other sport that allows you on the field to play like that. I mean, it's really, and you got to be fancy pants to get on there and whatnot, but it's a real sort of special experience, and it's unique to the NBA, and it's really great. And you're going to take that opportunity, if you're in the first couple rows, to, like, you're kind of a loser.
Yeah, no.
You suck.
I mean, like, that's okay. And the guy in the hallway who just said, Kyrie, you suck, and Kyrie responded by S my D. Like, obviously, that's on Kyrie. But we know it gets nastier than that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's sort of like,
no, it's every bit as low grade. It's low grade. Now, look, you want to hoot on a guy. Hey, Kyrie, we don't miss you. Hey, Kyrie, go back to Brooklyn. Hey, Kyrie, we're glad you're not here. No problem. Fire away. That's part of the story.
You effing P word. You know, like,
it's a little much.
Kind of a loser.
Yeah.
I mean, but go ahead. I'm not telling you not to do it. And
that thing is just better.
That thing is usually is policed pretty well, especially in that building. So if it was just like, Kyrie, you suck, and that's how he responded, like, he completely lost it.
Yeah, hashtag be better.
Al, Steve in Boston on Al Horford. Yes, Steve.
Yeah, so just quickly on Kyrie, I think Durant is a mercenary, so I don't think he'll have his back. But Horford played over 40 minutes, I think 41 minutes last night. And so they need to win Wednesday night. They need to kind of close this team out, because even though he has like a couple of days in between here, this guy cannot put up over 40 minutes per night at center for you. So,
okay. Maz, what do you think of that?
Well, look, it's a good observation. I didn't even realize it was that many until I looked at it. 41 and a half minutes. Now, the good news is, as we know, the schedule's spaced out. You'll get 2 days between games one and two games between games two and three. So that'll help Horford, but he was unquestionably one of the keys to the game.
And 15 rebounds, he was awesome in that yesterday.
Yeah, and those Bruce Brown comments about how we can attack the paint, well, it looked to me like Al Horford heard it. I don't know if Tice heard it or was as much of a factor, but Horford definitely heard it.
So Durant's a mercenary, and he doesn't care to back up Kyrie. Why did he care to back up Ben Simmons? And I will go to it again. I think the game was March 10th. I just wanted to look it up. It was one of the better games the Nets have played all season long. It was after the trade. They go into Philly, and I'll just read you right from the story. Sixers fans brought the noise as the Brooklyn Nets took the court at the Wells Fargo Center, raining boos down on Ben Simmons throughout warmups. Their vocal cries didn't last too long, however, as Nets star Kevin Durant sucked the air out of the arena with a sizzling performance, lighting up the Sixers in a 129-100 win. They won by 29 points. Durant went for 25, 14, and 7 assists with 2 steals. Quote, he, meaning Simmons, he already knew we had his back, but it just felt good to quiet all them down midway through the game, Durant said of the Sixers crowd. He said, it's hard for you to chant at Ben Simmons when you lose him by that much. So he cared about Ben Simmons 2 seconds after he got there. And I just, again, go look at the Nets that game. I think they were terrific. That was one of the best all-around games they played all year. They had a reason. And certainly they shouldn't need extra reason to play well in a playoff game. I'm just telling you, there's a little bit of a, I still like the Celtics in the series. I'm just, you know, trying to give you all angles here that if the Nets wanted to be motivated by the way you go at Kyrie, you've given them a reason. And they've done it before. and they've responded before for guys that they really shouldn't care about, but they do, and they did.
After yesterday, I'm still somewhat astonished that there would be anybody out there that would think this is somehow going to get easy.
Or that you've somehow gotten to Kyrie Irving?
Yeah. You know, again, 39 points. He was out of this world good in the fourth quarter. He took the game over, really. And so, and Durant played about as badly as I've seen him play in the last couple of years when he's been the best player in the world. I can't imagine Kevin Durant's going to go 9 for 24 again.
Midway through that, not that you'll do this, but of course, in true Philly fashion, midway through the fourth quarter with the Sixers trailing by 32 points, the Philly fans, of course, had seen enough, leaving the arena in droves. They went from booing Ben Simmons to booing the Sixers on the way out the building.
Further proof that all they want to do is boo.
That really is. That's the default setting in Philly. Back to your thoughts after this.
Boo, you suck.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kyrie Irving had 39 points, 18 of those in the fourth quarter. Also was hearing from it, or hearing it from the Boston Celtic fans, being a Celtic. In fact, gave him at one point, gave him the one-finger salute. Here were his post-game thoughts.
When people start yelling, and bitch and you and all this stuff, it's but so much you can take. And you know, we're the ones expected to be docile and be humble and take a humble approach. Nah, that's the playoffs. All is fair in competition, you know. So if somebody's gonna call me out of my name, I'm gonna look at them straight in the eye and see if they really about it. Most of the time they're not.
What do you think, Shaq?
Well, if the great Bill Russell went through it, I wanted to go through it also. I don't really want to hear all that. And, you know, certain cities, they don't care what you say at the press conference. You know what's going to happen game two? They're going to be talking more smack up there in Boston. I played in Boston 2 years, but listen, it happens to the best of us. You don't think people said stuff to Charles Barkley, said stuff to Akeem Olajuwon?
Come on, man. Please stop, man.
Yeah. Chuck got it from his home fans.
Hey, most of the fans are amazing. Yeah. Some of them said some rude stuff. Please stop it, you athletes today, whining like
little. Bill Russell went through it early on.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, man up.
TNT crew tells Kyrie to man up, and Shaquille O'Neal uses Bill Russell as the example. He's sort of crossing issues here. I mean, I know Kyrie's done it in the past. Are they saying it's racially motivated? And that, like, that's not what was going on there yesterday. At least, you know, Kyrie didn't go there. You know, but so I think Shaq is sort of mixing that up. But either way, you can see old players feeling that way. Just take it. You're supposed to take it. That's the deal. Unless someone really crosses the line, and you know, but just, you know, Kyrie, you suck. Hardly is crossing any lines if that's all that he's hearing. So most people feel that way. Again, does the modern player feel the same way?
No.
Does the modern player feel the way Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley does? Man
no
up.
Way. No. No way.
So, at some level, that's a problem for you. I mean, a big problem, small problem. I mean, I don't know. But most guys in the league are going to side with Kyrie Irving. His teammates are going to side with Kyrie Irving. Your players might even side with Kyrie Irving on this. The last time you did that to Kyrie, Jason Tatum told you to shush. So just keep that all in mind. Not that I'm telling you to change your behavior or that you would, but I think that's. Let's see how that all plays out. Back to your phones. We go to, Reggie and Lynn. Hi, Reggie.
Hello, Maz.
Yes.
Felger, Murray, I just want your opinion. This team has to beat Brooklyn just for the psyche of the team. For the last 2 years, they've beaten us up, sent us home, and embarrassed us on national TV. And quick side note, Maz, you're right. Tice has to do more. Missed a bunch of bunnies and open jump shots. White, forget about him. I put Pritchard in.
Okay. Well, you're taking – I mean, if you think White had problems with Kyrie Irving, what's Pritchard going to do against Kyrie Irving?
I thought Pritchard got absolutely freaking dusted. I mean, and Kyrie can shoot over him too.
Yes.
So, look, I like Pritchard. I just think that – remember, he's a second-round – was he a second-round pick?
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking about a guy who...
Or late first, whatever.
Okay, but the talent level is suspect for the NBA.
There was times where Kyrie was taking him, and I was like, this moment's too big for him.
Exactly. Yeah. Just the speed and level of the game is different. Like, dare I say it's varsity against JV? Like, you know, he's just not... The level, when the star players in the NBA are engaged, Pritchard can't keep up with that. It's unrealistic to expect them to.
How about Eugene in Los Angeles? Hi, Eugene.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? First time caller. Love listening to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you. I just want to expound on something Maz was talking about in terms of the missed shots that the Celtics had. I mean, this game wouldn't even have been close if the Celtics hit some of those, you call them bunnies, and some of those open jump shots. I think that they're going to, offensively, they're going to be better. Defensively, they're going to do the same thing. And I get Kyrie. I mean, special. But he's a turnstile on defense. Attack him.
Absolutely. Turnstile on defense. 100%. I don't know what Bruce Brown's excuse is. He should be better defensively. But Kyrie Irving, absolute liability.
So the only thing Kyrie can really do, I mean, he did it here a little bit, was take charges. But I think the bigger thing is get his hands in there and get at the ball. So, again, I think he had, what, 3 or 4 steals in that game yesterday? And I think he can swipe that out of there. But if you force him to play in the paint, back his ass down near the basket and push him around, there's nothing he can do to stop you.
Joe in Connecticut, hi.
Welcome back. Real quick. So last night was a heavyweight fight, right? Kyrie gave us his best shot. We absorbed it. We won. And I was listening to Beatle earlier, and I heard Tatum played some elite defense, according to Jay Stu's phone. So... I think between those two things, I think we got the series. Thank you. I hang up. Bye.
Yep, it's over.
Well, or he said we have a series.
I think he said we have the series.
Oh, we have the series.
Like he says, Kyrie gave us his best shot. I hear that and go, yeah, but Durant didn't.
Right. It's way too premature to say that right now. Like, what if Durant? You think Durant's going to be as bad as he was yesterday for the remainder of this series, or even Wednesday?
No, so look, and shame on me for taking the cheese on this stuff. Okay, like, yeah, we're going to beat him in 4. You're not going to beat them in 4. They're better than you think they are. And I would even say that, you know, defensively, they have the athletic ability to make defensive plays.
And they did something yesterday I didn't expect. Their bench was better than the Celtics. Goran Dragic was essentially their third guy. Like, and that was a question mark for them going into the series. I thought the Celtics had an advantage there. They didn't yesterday.
So, Mike, their defensive structure is lacking. Okay, that's totally indisputable. And we saw it on the final play. They started running around, and the Celtics picked them apart. That's really what happened. But the ability to play defense is there.
Oh.
And with the way they score, they only need a couple of stops.
Some individual guys can play defense, but no team defense that I saw or approach or anything like that. I just love that mentality that, like, we got this. Just personally, you know, I never think my team's going to win.
Me neither.
Like, ever.
Me too.
Ever.
I always think the worst.
The only team that's going to win is the other guy.
Yeah.
I never thought the Bucks would win last year, all the way up until game 6, the fourth quarter of game 6. We're going to lose this. And I, the Bruins, I never think are going to win.
I'm with you there.
With a couple of exceptions, I thought the Patriots were going to lose 9 Super Bowls.
I never think my team's going to win. I did get a little thing about the Bruins after Luongo started crying after game 5, I'll be honest. I'm like, that a-hole ain't going to win. But it's not like I was super confident in you. I always think I'm going to lose. Always.
Same. The only Patriots Super Bowl I thought they would win was the Eagles one.
But the mentality of, like, we got this. I never feel that way with any of my teams.
Yeah, me neither. And you know why? Because you have a healthy respect for the opponent. You have a healthy respect for competition. And you have a healthy respect for the realities of any competition, period. That it can always go any way with one little crazy thing that happens. So you play it out.
Nevin in Haverhill. Go ahead, Nevin.
First, I just want to touch on real quick, Ray Acosta, the head referee calling yesterday's game. Some shameful calls. The pace of the game, just disgusting. Terrible for the game. To touch on Kyrie too, I think the last 7 days, what we've heard from him is just peak Kyrie Irving. 5 days ago, he's he's God for the Ramadan fast. He's thanking God. It's all about the energy, the positivity. Now it's bleep my blank and F this and F that, and it's just it's everything we saw when he was here.
Turned on a dime. All it took was about 2 minutes in Boston, and all of a sudden, miserable, telling you go F yourself.
Maybe he was just hangry.
That's what I don't want to belittle his religious beliefs or anything, but maybe he was just cranky
because
he's freaking hungry.
Someone emailed us and said, though, during Ramadan, if you travel more than 48 miles, you can eat. Is that true?
I love all the loopholes. Like, yeah. I'd bang the crap out of those.
Oh, are you kidding? Like, seriously, I would get in my car and drive 48 miles just to have a meal.
I'm glad the guy mentioned the officiating. Who wants to go first?
I hated it. I mean, let him play. I thought it was way, way too over-officiated early on in that game.
Go ahead.
What are you doing? The little touch fouls 30 feet from the basket. Why? Why are we doing this? And just because someone goes down, block charge used to be a college. Remember when we were kids?
Yes.
That was a college play. And in the 80s, you almost never saw it. Like, they didn't even call it. They wouldn't give it to you. No one did it. And so, like, the block charge, but it's really the sort of moving screen kind of calls out on the perimeter. You're just going to have to let those go. You're for the sake of the game, you're going to have to let them go. There's going to be some contact out there 30 feet from the basket. For Pete's sake, it is freaking painful.
There was one sequence in the fourth quarter, too, where I think even the referees realized it. Do you remember when they called Jaylen Brown on Kyrie for, like, hand-checking or something? He put his hand on him. It was out in the perimeter, and they called Jaylen Brown was on him, and Jaylen Brown was doing a good job guarding him. And he put his hand on Kyrie, and they called it. And then on the next play, Durant went to the basket and was called for an offensive foul. And he pushed. But I think they said, we got to give the ball back to Boston.
Good God. The 18 fouls in the first quarter, the most combined, 18 combined fouls in the first quarter, the most of any game this season. That includes November when they're, you know, when in every sport they throw a lot of flags early in the season to set a tone. The most of any game in the regular season or playoffs was that one. What are you doing?
It was ridiculous. Way too many.
Oh, I can't take it. God, I'm glad we finally mentioned that, though. Like, that was atrocious. Okay, we'll try and zip through these calls. Maybe we'll do the lightning round, because we do have to get to tackles on the Felger and Mavs big board. Also, Murray, do you have the sound? Do you have Malcolm Butler?
Oh, Jimmy, do you have it over there?
So, number nine, listen, do this during the update. Malcolm Butler was asked today, I think. I haven't heard it, but I see it slugged in my files here. Malcolm Butler was asked point blank, why did you not play in the Super Bowl? You'll hear the question and answer coming up in the update with Big Jim. We come back, we throw for tackles and get through the end of your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Felger and Mass.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Again, once again, it's a Felger and Mass big board.
Yeah, we warm up with the fat guys on Monday.
We get this stuff out of the way. O-line, D-line today, and then we get to all the good positions. Go ahead. Chuck it.
Ooh.
Oh, you nailed one. Isaiah Wynn from Georgia. He's a projected first-round pick, Maz. Star running backs Nick Chubb and Sony Michael generated most of the buzz for SEC champion Georgia in 2017, but their flashy senior campaigns, Murray, were certainly enhanced by stellar blocking up front with wins at left tackle paving the way.
That's actually Sony Michel.
Oh, whatever. So he's, I guess he's listed as a guard here, but he played tackle at Georgia.
All right.
How about them apples?
Beautiful.
Okay.
It means he's versatile. We like versatility, too.
Okay, I'm going to put him on the board.
With the 23rd pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Isaiah Wynn, tackle, Georgia.
Wow. They said tackle, Mike.
Yeah.
They didn't say guard. They said tackle.
They announced him as a tackle. Most of the league looks at him as a guard, but he fits what Dante Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach at New England Patriots, looks for. He's under 6'3". He's a left tackle conversion for most of the league. However, in New England, he might be a left tackle. He pops out of his stance. He fits a zone scheme. And trust me, Dante Scarnecchia will get this kid. He's one of the best quick set pass protection guys I've seen in college football in years.
All right, last time the Patriots needed a tackle, the Felger and Mavs big board gave you the tackle. As I like to say, we don't promise ability. We only promise selection.
And so here we are again. Yes,
we just predict the future. That's right. All we do.
That's right. So once again, tackle, big area need for the Patriots. A lot of people think that's the draft pick coming your way. So this is a big toss we got coming here. The Felger and Maz big board has returned. All right, we gave you centers and guards earlier. You can go back and listen to the podcast, 98.5thesportshub.com, or on the app if you want to watch the full things. Alex Barth on the web department there does a great job then actually taking out our selections and giving you breakdowns of the players, their strengths, weaknesses, a little bit of video, graphic treatment to it. So you can catch that at 98.5thesportshub.com/draft. We have a draft hub at 98.5thesportshub.com. So go check that out with Alex Barth. And also want to reiterate, the Felger and Maz draft board and exclusive draft coverage is brought to you by the Peterson School, now drafting instructors for their Woburn, Westwood, Worcester, and Haverhill locations. If you are an expert in your trade and want to share your knowledge, please give the Peterson School a call. We have our Lindy Sports Guide, our Athlon Sports Guide. We're going to give you the first page on Lindy's. So these are the cream of the crop, according to Lindy's.
All right, here we go.
We're going to pick one from these, and then we'll go page two, page three from the other guide, and those will be our three selections. And Murray is standing about 10 feet away from me across the studio. I'm holding up a cardboard with the magazine clipped to the top of it. The closest mark is the selection. We ready?
I want that big guy from Northern Iowa.
Yeah, straighten out the board.
And hold on. And Murray also throws like a Nancy, just in case you're scoring at home. Go ahead, Murray. What do you got?
Good luck, Murray.
Not right in today's world.
Oh, that's a bad throw.
Bad low left.
What mark? Was it pink?
It was pink, all right.
Well, this is the first guy on their board. Ikem Ekwonu.
Oh, boy.
Ikemekwonu. Ikem Ekwonu.
Ekwonu.
Okay. That's the number one. Like, something tells me he's like a top 10 pick or something. I don't know. But anyway, that's who Maury. That's the exact guy he's probably not aiming for, and he hit because he throws like such a sally. I know in these days, days and age, I shouldn't say that, but I bet Sally throws better than Murray. Okay, go ahead. Here's page two, Maz, from the Athlon. Go ahead.
All right, last time I wore my glasses, I see better without them. Hold on. Here we go.
It's like two drinks deep. Oh, right up top.
That was blue.
Yep, got it. Kellen Deitch from Arizona State.
Oh, boo.
Put him on the board.
German guy.
Why? Why don't you like Arizona State?
I don't know. I just don't like it. I didn't know. What's his name go there?
He did.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah, that was
yeah. All right. So that was actually page three. Now we'll go to page two on the Athlon guide. Here's the last selection. Go ahead, please.
All right.
Oh, my God. That almost tailed in and got me.
Seriously.
Top left.
Nicholas Petit Frere. Little brother? Little brother. Is that what that means? Yes.
Not to be confused with Petit Scone.
Nicholas Petit Frere? Little bro. Nicholas Little Brother.
All right, stand by.
Could have been Nicholas Pomfret. French fry.
Seriously.
Mon petit frère.
What a name. That sounds like it's made up.
Petit frère.
Okay.
Better than little sister.
Here's Ikem Ekwonu, 6'4", 320. Legit contender for the top overall pick.
Oh, forget it.
No show.
Barth, are you back there? Is he going to go off the board of the top five? Ish?
He says 10, top 10.
He says 10.
6'4", 320?
So there's
no shot.
I don't feel like there's any shot. Anyway, legit contender for the top overall pick. Body, it's Murray. Body control, violence, and technical prowess to entice coaches and scouts.
Like I meant to get him.
Wait a minute. Go back. Is it body control, violence?
Body control. I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on it because there's not like, it's not a strengths. Powerhouse run blocker with a mean streak.
Ooh.
Great knee bender.
Hey, Quentin.
He's a great knee bender with flexible lower half. Could move inside to guard and dominate. Yeah, that's great. Let's draft a guy number one overall and play him at guard.
They'd do that.
He's an easy mover in the open field and brings a ton of value as a puller.
Easy mover.
Weaknesses. Likes to drop his shoulders on targets in the run game.
It's got bad posture.
Yeah.
Rather than staying square.
He's just said, I don't know.
He can be taken out by a good push-pull. If he gets caught leaning.
Who doesn't like a good push-pull?
Length isn't ideal. Loses angles too easily in the run game when working diagonally. I wouldn't work diagonally then. What do you mean working diagonally? Okay.
Well, he's got to lunge to a certain side to get a linebacker.
Let's move to the other one now. So the Petit Frere kid is really the second selection.
because I had my pages mixed up. Nicholas Petit Frere. That can't be a real name. It sounds like a porn name. Nicholas Petit Frere is a 6'5", 305-pounder out of Ohio State University. Strong points.
He is not petite.
Petit Frere is an exceptionally quick and nimble mover for a 305-pounder, and he absolutely glides in pass protection.
305 feels light, though.
He plays with natural knee bend and has the initial quickness to match speed and the body control and balance to mirror.
Natural knee bend.
Mirror.
So what, his legs don't ever straighten out?
Yeah, mime.
Right.
He has the long arms to keep defenders out of his chest.
Ooh, that's valuable, though.
Get out of my chest.
You can't motorboat him.
Weak points. He has issues with power. Beyond the viral clip when he got blasted by Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan. Are you familiar with this viral clip there, Barth? Must be. Well, anyway, beyond the viral clip where he got blasted by Aiden Hutchinson, and it's very likely those issues will show up early at the next level. Petit Frere too often allows speed to power rushers to get into his chest again and drive him backward. And as a run blocker, there are too many stalemates against edge defenders.
This guy sucks.
So wait, he's got long arms, but he doesn't use them?
He projects in the third or fourth round, put him on the board, apparently.
Tap him in the chest, you get by him.
If they get this guy, they're porked.
Final pick, Kellen Deitch, D-I-E-S-C-H.
Okay. Deitch, either or.
6'7", 300.
Oh, see, that's more their kind of cat.
Large fella.
He's only three bills at 6'7", though, huh?
Strong points. After seeing limited playing time at Texas A&M, Deitch transferred to Arizona State and immediately established himself as one of the best offensive tackles in the nation. He has prototypical length for the position and the kind of movement skills you want in a left tackle prospect. And he did a nice job playing with balance and effectively squaring up a variety of pass rushers. He has the athleticism to get out into space on outside zone runs. Weak points. Deitch is somewhat underpowered in the run game.
See, he's light. 6'7", three bills. Put some meat on, will you?
And his functional strength will be an issue at the next level.
What does that mean?
The functional strength again.
Here's another one of these. He's a bit overage, turning 25 in August.
So if you seven-year senior?
Yeah, if you go back and listen to our first, I think the first guard we picked is a six-year senior.
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
Yeah,
I don't have 5 years to have a six-year senior.
25 in August.
So this guy's going to be 25.
Yeah, he's a mature kid.
He will have to prove that he is capable of handling speed to power from NFL rushers. The summary says the fact that he's an older prospect and just a one-year starter will make some teams uneasy. But there's no denying Deitch has the kind of length and athleticism teams look for on the outside.
Feels like a second rounder.
He should enter the league as a swing tackle with a chance to become a starter in an outside zone scheme. Final grade, fourth, fifth round.
Okay, so in that case, you take him later.
Put him on the board.
I wanted the kid from Northern Iowa or the kid from Austria.
Well, you missed him. Okay, Trevor Penning.
You told me where they were.
Kid from Trevor Penning, Northern Iowa.
No, you can't try to cheat the magazines.
Sure.
You try to direct the throw like that well.
The board called to me.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, if they draft an offensive tackle in the first round,
get ready for it.
Although
Mike Reese's recent mock draft, I think he put together one that had him taking that fat kid from Georgia who runs fast.
The defensive lineman, you mean?
Yeah,
Jordan
yeah.
Davis?
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
All right, so put him on the board. We've given you, that was a big day. Big day for the big board. Okay, we gave you.
It's the best analysis of any
that's
pre-draft
that's,
scouting right
that's
there.
That's what we're here for.
The fat kid from Georgia runs fast.
That's Yeah, put him on the board. I'll take that guy. Three guards, three centers, three tackles. We put him on the board. Again, 98.5thesportsup.com or the app. Alex Barth will have workups on all three positions. Tomorrow, I think we're doing, I put it down here, we're doing defensive line tomorrow?
That's a guy I want.
Are you still cracking yourself up over there?
Jordan, yeah, it's not how you would typically describe a prospect in the NFL, but it worked.
Defensive line comes your way tomorrow. And that's it. We're off and running all the way up until the draft a week from Thursday. Any final thoughts before we head to the final word, fellas?
No.
All right, let's go to the final word.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Quick couple of pieces of sound to get to wrap up the day right out of the gate. Clear that it is a re-entry Monday as we had a case of when hosts aren't listening.
Sorry.
Very first segment.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
And so they should be, when they're up against that lineup, they should be dominating the boards, and they did. It was a big factor.
Yeah, look, again, and Drummond had some foul trouble in there, too, which is another factor. Drummond's a good defensive rebounder. And that's where the disparity was. It was on the offensive glass.
Absolutely. And Drummond had foul trouble,
right.
Which is a whole nother. I'm sorry, did you just say that?
Yeah, that's what
I thought you. Sorry.
No, don't worry about it.
This has been How to Tell When the Hosts Aren't Listening.
You just hate to be the guy.
Oh, we've all been there.
It happens.
Oh, yeah, we've all been there.
Look at me square in the face, said it right to my face. I'm looking right at you.
Yeah, look, again, and Drummond had some foul trouble in there, too, which is another factor. Drummond's a good defensive rebounder. And that's where the disparity was. It was on the offensive glass.
Absolutely. And Drummond had foul trouble.
So when you feel yourself get hot in the face, you're like, oh, no.
Like, that's never occurred to anyone. What a blazer I had. Absolutely. And Drummond had foul trouble. I mean, why didn't you mention that?
What a jackass.
Collars also had a bumpy
Absolutely. And Drummond had foul trouble.
Collars had a bumpy afternoon for themselves. Or maybe it was just too much sauce for Marathon Monday.
Holy cow.
Here's Paul in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Paul. You're up next. Wow. He's out on the motorboat. Got Ken.
We hope.
Yeah. Ken in Medford. Go ahead, Ken.
That's pretty funny, actually, guys. That's crazy. Sorry.
What are you doing?
Okay, yeah, that won't work either.
Hey. And the Christian Arcan one, we can't even dress that one up if we tried.
We can't even. Right? That's hard to beep out. I mean, it's like so descriptive.
Can't even, can't tiptoe around that one. All right, here comes the baseball hour, Maz. What do we got?
So we're going to look back on the four-game series with the Minnesota Twins. Murray made a comment during one of his headlines today that I thought pretty much perfectly crystallized what the Red Sox have been this season. We'll tell you what he said and how it applies when we come back.
All right. That'll be it. So we have an hour of baseball talk tonight. No guests to speak of, Maz? Just
no
you?
Guests tonight. No, just me and Murray tonight.
Okay. Tomorrow, a little programming note. Tomorrow debuts the premiere of the Felger and Maz Off-Air Show.
Ah, yes.
With Felger. It's basically the Felger Show on Facebook Live tomorrow at 6:05. So right when we're off the air here at 6, I scamper my little tush down the hall, and we give you about 15, 20 minutes. You're welcome to fire away with your comments and questions. It'll be a free-flowing sort of conversation. I think we'll answer a vicious charge levied against us yesterday in the Boston Globe.
We'll
answer a blasphemous, libelous, I would say, accusation against the Felger and Maz show yesterday in the Boston Globe. So that'll be the topic for the off-air show tomorrow.
I did see that.
Okay. Here comes Maz and some baseball. We're back at it tomorrow, too. Talk to you then.
See you. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.